Good morning. Welcome at the Order of Time. Today, I would like to talk to you about emancipation. Emancipation is a well-known concept these days, especially relating to women, elevating to the level of and command of and control of men to become their equal. And also the emancipation of men to become more receptive, to develop more female qualities. This is both emancipation, the general idea of becoming an equal, self-realized individual. But there are some misunderstandings about this emancipation. The purpose of emancipation is not that men and women become equal. It is the purpose to become equal, but not the same. Men will never become women, and women will never become men, of course. Each has his own qualities. Men have certain qualities, and women have certain qualities, which are very important. But the equality is something different. It's something like equal rights or equal principles. And not to be the same person, not to all be men. Emancipation is not a matter of women jealous being jealous with men, or men being jealous with women. Oh, I'm a man, I'm so tired of doing my job and making money. I'd rather sit at home too, just like the women, and that would be far more comfortable. So let's call that emancipation. No, that is not emancipation. Emancipation is not to be jealous with each other's talents and positions. Emancipation is to become an equal indeed, but not an equal in manifestation. So what is this equality all about? The equality we envision in the concept of emancipation is the equality of the soul. We are equal from within the soul. The soul is the transcendental position realized from accepting the principles that regulate our human moral and ethical conduct. And It is a position above the sexes, not just above the sexes, above all false ego. If we identify with being man or woman or Jew or Gentile, we are in ignorance. We are falsely identified because that is not the soul. The soul is not identified by the genes. The soul is identified by the principles of conduct. We as human beings behave according to certain principles. Well, these principles tell us whether we are concerned with the soul or with the ego. So these principles have been discussed before. To be truthful, to be faithful, to be pure, and to be non-violent, to not to steal but to share things. To be austere, of penance, to know where to stop. These are all values of the soul. So emancipation, this, is in fact the gradual evolution of an individual in acceptance of this basic definition of humanity. We are human beings by the grace of the soul. So if we get nearer to non-violence or refraining from non-necessary violence, like vegetarians do. If we share the money better, if we are not promiscuous, if we are truthful, if we see things as they are and don't present it otherwise, then we are close to the soul. So these principles of humanity are something special, something not automatically present with human beings. It is a life endeavor to respect these principles. So it is a process in which one gradually is acquainted with this integrity of the principles, this soul, which is so closely related to the concept of God and lordship and what religions are all about. Some don't believe in it, some are very convinced of it. So let's be sober about this. We need to be human. We need to respect the principles of humanity. We cannot lie, we cannot cheat, we cannot steal, and we cannot kill. Just like that, we are bound to this definition of humanity. So, how to approach this integrity of these principles, which is the purpose, of course, and that you become a person of that integrity, a person of soul, not so much a person of ego. We are equal in the soul. And thus we develop our own character. It's a bit of a paradox. Becoming equal, you become different. And so it is the oneness in the difference that we seek in emancipation. So how to approach this? Well, traditionally, in Velognosy, we speak of three basic disciplines. The discipline about facts, the discipline about principles, and the discipline about the person. The discipline about facts is to be not of illusion, to be free from illusions, to see things as they are. This is generally called the scientific and philosophical interest. The second interest in philognosy is the discipline of the soul, the principles, to be transcendent and to be also dual. There's a soul and there's matter. There's the true self and the false self. This is also a dual position which we consider as, from the analytic point of view, making divisions between the different types of duality. And there's the third position of the person, which is sometimes considered religiously, sometimes considered politically. But the person also needs to be respected. These are the three basic disciplines involved in emancipation. And you cannot miss any of these. You cannot be illusioned and respect the person. You cannot be illusioned and speak of the soul. You have to work at all these disciplines. These are all relevant to the concept of emancipation. So this is the first factor in if we analyze this concept of emancipation. So, but there's another factor, that is the concept of unification. We want to unify, to unite in the consciousness, because the ego cannot be united without making babies. You have to unite in the soul, as said, and this is also a scientific matter. It's called, in India, they call it the science of yoga, but we don't have to speak of yoga. We can learn from that philosophy and accept that the science of unifying one's consciousness, of uniting in the consciousness, is divided in three disciplines, in three forms of unification. We unify in doing work. That is the first aspect. When we all do our jobs, we are unified in service, liberated, we call it also. In service of the righteous concept of living together. But there's more than working for the money, for the material affair. There's also work done for as a volunteer, not directly interested in the result, in the fruit of work, in the money, in the effect, but in getting nearer to the cause, to be liberated more in serving the purity of it all. So we have voluntary service, work, voluntary service, and the third option is that of knowledge. We also unify in pure knowledge. So these are three three forms of unification and three forms of discipline together making up a table comprising six plus three fields, the six fields of work and the three fields of knowledge. So there are nine verbs involved in this, which describe each fundamental aspect of emancipation. So let's discuss these nine aspects of emancipation. If we want to work for these simple work in a normal position as an individual in society, we work thus for the impersonal, the local, and the personal aspect, the factual, the principal, and the religious political aspect. And working for, first of all, working for the impersonal thing, doing your scientific job as an intellectual or as a student in school, you have to write. You have to write your thesis or your test. So as to progress in this field. So first of all, we do work in the scientific field of being non-illusioned and faithful to the facts. And that is usually this involves the verb writing. One has to write. Things have to be written. You have to deliver written proof of your capacity, of your commitment, etc. This is working for a concrete result, writing. Second of all, you have to prove that you remember something. To the principal, you have to remember this the knowledge, the work that you do for the principal is contemplation. We contemplate what we've learned, what we heard about, what we confess to. This is less material work, but it's still work you have to do. You have to keep that in mind. You have to weigh that, and you have to remember that. So the second type of work relevant to emancipation is contemplation. That's what you do for the principle. Weighing the interests of the soul, we are contemplating. The third type of work you have to do for in emancipation is to do prayers, to concentrate that mind. You can contemplate, you can write to prove your commitment and your capacity. You may train your memory contemplating the interests of the principles and the soul. But there's also the necessity to concentrate your mind, to focus properly on the subject and not have a mind wandering everywhere, as you know, which makes you a confused person. You have to be focused. So this focusing, we have a special verb for it. It is called praying. We repeat mantras like, Our Father in heaven, thy will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, and so forth. These are formulas. There's many of them. The Hindus say simply Aum, just to fuse all the concepts of life in one term. But this is prayer. This is the work you do to respect the person. This is how we connect to Jesus, to Buddha, to Krishna, with fixed concepts of focusing. That is the third aspect of working in emancipation. But there is another level, which is really primal to this. Before you can write and contemplate and pray, you first have to study. There's no real effect in that. You do not really produce or prove anything yet. So it's voluntary. It's not what you call work. It's studying. First of all, in science, you have to study the books. You have to know what it's all about. So At the impersonal level, we are studying. To the principles, the service is different. You have studied it even before writing and contemplating and praying. You may proclaim that. You may defend to the principle without expecting any results, without serious work. You may defend your opinion or your belief or just proclaiming what you studied. So that is the second interest of the voluntary department, the other way of unifying for the sake of emancipation. The third aspect of this is to relate voluntarily to the person. Usually we know this in common life as love songs. You sing the glory of love, how much you love the woman. But it's not necessarily that worldly. It is also connecting to the soul and the principle which unifies. It is also singing in a more religious context. So you can do your prayers, but you can also do hymns. So that's the difference. Prayers and hymns, you sing it. But also political parties, they also sing the same song all the time. They have a fixed program. Everybody confesses to it, and they rejoice in it, and they fight their usual song of confessing to their own program. So this is a third aspect. So at the second level of voluntary work, we have studying, proclaiming, and singing. So now we have formulated six types of work in the form of six verbs: writing, contemplating, praying, studying, proclaiming, and singing. These are six types of work. But there are also three types of unification which are not really work, not voluntary work, not work for an effect, but the work just for purely knowing. We are Homo sapiens. We have to work for our humanity, defined by the soul, as said. And this involves knowledge. So there's three other verbs associated with this, and these are the verbs of thought. If you study, you have to also take responsibility for what you have learned. And you do not just contemplate what you learned. No, that is not really thinking. Thinking is actively engaging in taking responsibility for the contents of what you think. So actually, what is the father you what does it mean, the story you read? You contemplated this all, but what does it really mean? And are you really capable of dealing with that content? This is thinking. It may be considered the highest purpose of emancipation, the end result. Just thinking. Like Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. This is the end point. This is what it's all about in enlightenment, that you take responsibility for your own mental content. But there's more to knowledge, pure knowledge, to be unified. Thinking is a problem on itself if you don't know how to stop it. So stopping thinking is a second interest, which is less scientific, of course, but more to the principle, more to the soul, to the self of peace and order, to the witness that we really are, which doesn't necessarily think, but is more realizing. This realization is called meditation. So we are thinking and meditating, like the throttle and the brakes in a car. You need both, one to progress and one to stop. So otherwise, thinking is useless if you don't know where to stop, and meditation is useless if you don't know how to engage in thought. So these two are important for the principle. You meditate, and for the impersonal order of facts, you think. So there's one thing more involved in knowledge, and that is the knowledge related directly to the person. What verb is involved in this? This is what we call listening. To care for the person, you have to listen to the person. So, listening, meditating, and thinking is what we do. It's not work. It's not even voluntary work, but it is necessary forms of uniting one's consciousness on the level of knowledge management. You have to manage this human affair of knowledge, and this is done in thoughts, meditations, and simply listening. So these are the nine interests of emancipation. If we analyze it into the disciplines involved and the types of unification involved, we get this schedule, this scheme, this table of nine verbs involved in the process of meditation. So how does this work? We meditate, listen, and think, but there's a certain order to it. We have these verbs, but you may wonder what how does this progress take place? What comes first and what follows? Is there an order to this? How to remember this? So, in the process of emancipation, we have a certain order. We first of all, we have to listen. Before you can write or contemplate, you first have to know what it's all about. So first of all, we listen, and then we realize there's a big body of knowledge which we have to grasp, to get under control. So for that purpose, we have these hymns. We sing the glories of Jesus, not just because he's a nice chap and a good man. No, he stands for a complete Bible full of wisdom, which is not easily read, because reading is important, and studying is important. But it's not that easy as you might think. You have your own psychological hang-ups. You are an adult, and you will not submit to any other authority from the notion of enlightenment. So that is not easy to get access to such a book of wisdom. It is a big achievement just to digest that kind of knowledge, to absorb it, to identify with it. It's not easy. So to get access, you have to use a key, and that key is what you use in singing. You sing in a key, but it's also a key to the knowledge behind it. So you sing Christian psalms just to get access to the Bible. And so in Hinduism we sing bhajan just to get access to the Purana and the other scriptures. And so do Muslims also sing, especially the Sufis, just to get access to the philosophy of Islam. So singing is important, and it's second to listening. First you listen, realize what the field is all about, and if you accept that, you can sing the songs about it, and then you're on your way with your emancipation. You have not really taken responsibility of thinking it for yourself, to know it really, to take real responsibility for these concepts, but you accept it as goodness and as a culture and as essential to society. So next of all, you have to contemplate this, to remember this, to weigh it in your mind properly. So because it's of detachment, and you easily forget that. It has to be consciously hardened, consciously remembered. So after listening and singing, you get contemplating. These are the first three: listening, singing, contemplating. Next is what you get in the department of service and study. Next you get you have to assist, to deliver proof of your commitment, and you have to help with after contemplating. You have to help serving the interest of your association. So this involves helping which is closely associated with the writing, delivering proof of your commitment, to prove yourselves a worthy member of your community. So priests and leaders, and they all write books. They all take responsibility for the culture of wisdom, which must be tuned to the present day. So that is done in writing. So Islam has to tune to the democracy, which is not easy because it's an authoritarian system. Just like other religions, it's old school facing new school, and without adaptation, you will lose your hold. So that requires writing. That writing, of course, needs to be studied again. And to that studying, you need, again, to concentrate your mind, not just by singing, you did that already, but you also have to practice these formulations you studied from the writing, so that you do your prayers, you recite your verses and your mantras, and you know what to say, and just like what I am doing now, how the emancipation is constructed from what elements it is built. It is not just praying for yourself, repeating the verses, the concepts, the schemes, the schedules, the agenda also for yourself, but you also have to proclaim it. So first you have listening, singing, and contemplating. Then there's writing, studying, and praying. And next you have the other three, the remaining three, which finally lead to that self-responsibility for the content of the knowledge, for the thinking, and the enlightened position of a self-realized individual who knows what he talks about, because you can write and study and pray, but still not fully have realized what it's all about. So first of all, you proclaim it, you teach it others, you tell it others just to help yourself. If you help others, you help yourself. That is the use of proclaiming what you stand for. Next, you have to stop. It's not just knowledge, it's not just knowing, it is also being what you refer to that soul. And that is the process of meditation. You have to talk and you have to stop talking. You have to talk and you have to stop talking. And so this ending of the thought, just to realize where you are and what there is right here and now, is what we call meditation. And this is a prerequisite to realize who you are, and this who is there to take responsibility with and what for. So this whole process of emancipation was to get acquainted with the interest of that soul, how to listen to it, how to sing about it, how to contemplate it, how to write about it, how to study it, how to pray about it, and finally, how to proclaim it, how to speak about it, how to tell others about it, and how to meditate it, just to realize the content of the one who is doing it all, that soul, what it's all about. The thing to realize, your individual relating to God, to the soul, to the true self, or whatever you call it. So after meditation, then, if you know how to stop everything, you also know how to engage with it. And thus, you learn to take responsibility. And then we have reached the end of our process of emancipation. Then we are capable of thinking. Normally we associate in the mind, contemplate things, sing about it, talk about it, study it. But did we really take responsibility for this? Did we really think about it? Are we ourselves with it? Are we in command with it? So this is the enlightened position of thinking about it. And this is the interest of emancipation in philocracy, concerning the three basic disciplines and the three forms of unifying the consciousness. This is what I wanted to tell you today. I thank you for your attention.